Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
We're back and we're doing BOGO deals on demonic possessions. Make sure you guys stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Welcome to the Evil After Show. This is episode 7, Vatican 3. I'm your host, Shantira Mapp, and next to me, I have my lovely co-host. I have Haley, who is a lover of all things horror. What's up, Haley?
Hey.
And next to Haley, I have Chaos, who's been watching horror since the age of 4.
That's hey. Since 4 flats on the Cadillac, it's me and Chaos. Jay, what's going on, everybody?
How y'all doing?
I'm good.
Good?
I'm good, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, creeped out.
Ready to dive into this,
right.
These BOGO deals we got going
right.
on.
Right, and for those of you that don't know, BOGO, buy one, get one off. Right.
Buy one, get one.
Buy one, get one. Okay, yeah, chaos, put me on game.
No BOGO. Right. Okay, anyway, let's go.
Slip my mind. So today we're going to be talking about Bridget, her exorcism, her shady husband, and we'll also talk about Leland and Sebastian and kind of dive more into the Codex book. We got some news and gossip, our special segment, and then of course we have our predictions. So before we jump all the way into it, what are your guys' overall thoughts of this episode?
Ladies first.
I was really creeped out by this episode. Like, just Bridget really took me for a whole whirlwind.
She did, yeah. What about you, Chaos?
Bridget gave me a lot of and I can't think of his name. His name escapes me. But she gave me, I likened her character to the character from Split. Obviously, there's, you know, they didn't do as much with it. But just the fact that, you know, midway through, we got to hear her jump between 3 or 4 different personalities. So it definitely gave me some Split vibes. And I'm saying this as if I've seen the movie and I haven't even seen the movie, but it, you know, I've definitely read up on the movie and it's definitely on my to-do list. And again, with this, I think she did a great job and, I've got a lot to talk about, Ms. Bridget. So let's get into it.
All right, cool. I definitely love this episode. I feel like each week for me, it just gets better and better. Last time I thought the demon was insane, but this week, yeah, Bridget took she embodied that performance. It was literally amazing.
Yeah,
totally scary. And when she was jumping back from different voices, I wrote down Chris, Jonathan, Howard. I mean, she was everybody. So.
And they all sound different, too.
They did.
There was a distinction between each and every
there
one,
was.
Which was
that
also...
That actress was really good.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so we're going to get more into it. So, couple things. So, Bridget, again, had a miscarriage, and her husband, Dwight, was saying that she was possessed, which obviously we could see she was clearly possessed. Now, we found out that she was admitting to murdering 3 kids. And I got the names of Louis, Facundo, and Enrique. Mm-hmm. And she literally was giving, like, detailed information as to what she did to these kids and how Enrique was bored and looked lonely and how she took him and things like that. So, I mean, I thought that she had killed these kids.
Oh,
but,
for sure.
But come to find out, she didn't. Her husband did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are you guys' thoughts about that? Because I feel like, for me, it's like... I'm still a little, like, taken back and still a little, like, how did we get her to confess? Like, how did she confess everything? I understand she was possessed, but how did Howard confess everything if it was really Dwight? And obviously Dwight's the one that called 911, cops came and all that, but how did we get her to admit that she killed these kids?
I think he kind of, like, just brainwashed her.
Brainwashed her or brainwashed Bridget or brainwashed Howard?
Bridget. That's a good, you know, that's a good question.
Yeah, because and then if you think about all those other voices, Chris, Jonathan, everybody that was, and you know, everybody that she was, like all those different demons, it makes you think, like, okay, why, when somebody tell, when somebody say, because they were even saying how, you know, Howard isn't the boss,
right.
basically. Yeah. So what do you guys think?
Okay, so if we were to go off of your theory, Haley, about him brainwashing her, then what I, yeah, so if we were to go off of that theory that he brainwashed her, then I'm going to go ahead and say that for him to brainwash her and take advantage of her and manipulate her like that, that meant that she had a pre-existing, the split personality was something that was pre-existing. It wasn't something that just came on once she was possessed.
Right. Yeah.
If we were to go off of your theory.
That's good.
Now, for me personally, that was a big question that we talked about that before the show, is I want to know if the husband had something to do with it. And technically, we don't know without a doubt that he did. But if he had something to do with it, yes. How did he get her to confess to that? Unless, and this is where I'm about to just turn into Stretch Armstrong and just go reach. Unless.
I like that.
He was the one that conjured the demons that possessed her. And in conjuring the demons, he manipulated the demons to kill those kids. And then, you know, so when they were confessing to it, or when Howard, so you know what I'm saying, more so, was confessing to actually murdering those kids, Howard, the demon, did do it, but Howard was also, you know, conjured by the husband. I know
Got
that's
it.
A reach.
I yeah. like yours I like that. Way better
but
than
it,
mine.
But yes, it actually could, it's plausible.
It makes sense, yeah. yeah. But I love this show. I mean, there's this is such a really great show. You have to really, really pay attention.
You can
really miss clues yeah. and little details. But I agree with that. I can see that him manipulating Howard to just tell. But for me, with Howard, I mean, it's just everything was just so detailed. I mean, it was literally detailed as I don't know what. And then he even like jumped at Kristen. Sure, this is how I did it. So
right, and okay. So just to jump in real quick, another idea that just came to me is, you know, because we're so quick to always blame men, rapping for the men.
With this episode, that's what you're saying.
So okay. We could also venture as far as to say that it wasn't even necessarily him conjuring a demon and possessing her. She could have truly been the one that was possessed, but then that demon or demons also took a hold of him and got, and so those demons that body, you know, that are inside of her did carry out those murders.
Right.
And then he was an accomplice because he was under their power.
Yeah,
so that's another one too.
But the thing is, like, okay, so at the end of the show, you know, we saw the symbol obviously on the board. We saw that, and then he says that he finds his evidence, and then all of a sudden he just like tries to lunge at David. So to me, I felt like that's he pretty much is admitting guilt. He was showing his guilt there. I mean, did you guys take it the same way?
I think there's a bigger picture with Bridget.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. And then I thought about that too, because first off, I'm like, why is this dude in this room sniffling and snotting like a little baby as he's, I knew he was doing something, but like, what is he doing? And he's, I'm like, seriously, bro, like, is that necessary? And then yes, by him lunging that kind of, I was like, oh, he did it.
Yeah.
But then that's when all those questions came up. And again, it could have been one of those things where we've seen in other movies and other TV shows where someone, you know, comes under someone's spell and they're not necessarily truly aware and in control of what's happening while under said spell.
Yeah.
And then when they come to and realize like, oh my God, what have I done? And we could have also been witnessing some of that.
That's
some of
true.
Those after effects, you know, where it's like he, you know, he's starting to realize like, oh my goodness, like I actually helped her commit these crimes, and he's also trying to conceal it because if they figure out everything, they're going to figure out that he was an accomplice as well. So there's a lot of different layers and a lot of different directions we could go with that.
I agree with that. And I mean, I don't know, Haley, I mean, what do you guys think as far as like with him even calling 911? Because he called 911. But then, I mean, he was so sneaky about it. And then he acted as if he was just so concerned about his wife, you know? So
he was really just trying to, like, set her up. It's like,
yeah,
he's abusive.
Like, mentally abusive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, he had, like, the like little boy, like, toys.
That was weird. Yeah, I saw that he had, obviously, the murder weapon. He had a knife, had blood on it.
Yeah.
Murder weapon. And then he also had, I guess, I mean, I don't want to necessarily call them souvenirs, but they were, like,
trinkets.
Yeah.
Do you, and they lost.
They were collector's items.
They lost a baby. Do you think that's why? Because, like, killing these boys, because they lost a baby and he's collecting, like, little boy things?
I don't know.
Do you think it's connected to that?
I don't think so. That's good, though. I don't think so either.
I think, honestly, I think the them mentioning that she had just recently suffered the miscarriage, while definitely could be a variable in something that's happening, might have been used to say, well, you know, she suffered the miscarriage, so that kind of sent her in a downward spiral.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, she went from just being emotional and depressed to, you know, I'm possessed by demons. Oh.
Yeah, I wish we could see when they get to that point,
again,
though.
Right, and I think that's a reach, and I'm definitely not saying that that's what it is, but nowhere else did they really address the miscarriage and or how it affected her, how it affected him. That isn't a good idea and a good theory, though, about, you know, him collecting the toys because, you know, maybe he wanted a boy and or maybe it was a boy and you know, and they lost it.
But what about those kind of kids, too?
Well, I don't understand that.
And they were all Hispanic.
Yes. It's like he targeted three Hispanic boys. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I want to say that they're going to continue with Bridget. I'm hopeful. I think with the last exorcism, you know, we saw her be, you know, cured. So I feel like that now it's like with this one, with Bridget, we didn't see that, you know? So for me, I'm like wondering, okay, are we necessarily done with her?
They have to be linked, like,
I think so, especially with the symbol and everything, which I know we'll get more into that when we talk about the Codex book. But yeah, for sure, I believe that it's going to come back up.
What I would like to see, I know we still have a few episodes, so there's still time in this season, and you know, and you know, if not even in the second season, I don't want the second season to just be a whole new collection of stories.
Yeah.
I want there to be references, and even we get to revisit some of these characters that we've been introduced to because there's so many things that are left unanswered.
Absolutely. I definitely think we'll get that for sure.
Now, just real quick, because this isn't the first time that they've thrown in little Easter eggs, so to speak, or random, you know, or small little social commentary-ish nuggets, so to speak. And I don't even know if that's the right phrasing. Why do you think of all the ethnicities of kids that he, or that someone murdered between the two of them, that it was Mexican? Do you think there's anything, or Hispanic, rather? Do you think there's anything to that? Because I kind of do.
I don't know. I don't know why he targeted the three that he targeted the three Hispanic children. I have no idea.
I don't think it really, I think it's just that they're little boys of color. I don't think it's like specifically because they were Hispanic.
Okay, exactly. And right. And I kind of agree with that, is that, it's not necessarily that they were Hispanic, but just more so that they were little boys of color. And unfortunately, in a lot of society, their value isn't the same. It's not on par with other children.
Yeah.
Other, you know what I'm saying? Non-color children or children.
Right. No, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Essentially. I kind of took that. I picked up that from there. But then, Leland made a comment, and I know we haven't really got to him yet, but he made a comment, too, about, you know, doing something in retaliation to a woman that has pretty much kind of just, you know, rejected
right,
you.
Right.
And so what if she says something because, you know.
Well, we're going to get into that. We're not into Leland and stuff yet, but no, I know what you mean.
But right. So my whole point was just that they dropped these things in there.
Right, yeah.
And they've been doing it all season.
I think it's just to speak on what's happening in the world today.
Yes,
absolutely. All day. I do want to touch on really quick Myra, who is Kristen's friend, who's also a cop. And I think it's difficult when you have somebody, you know, when you're in that situation, it's like you have a friend who's a cop and she comes to you with information, but she can't really tell you everything. And
yeah.
It's tough. But do you guys think that Kristen was, you know, right for, you know, well, do you think she was wrong for withholding information? Do you think she was right for telling her where the bodies were? What do you guys think about that?
Legally, she had to tell, like, everything she knew.
Yeah.
I don't blame the detective at all for doing her job.
Absolutely. What about you, Chaos? What do you think? I know it can be kind of tough when you have friends that work in the legal system.
It is. However, you're 100% correct. Kristen's friend, you know, she has her own obligations and responsibilities for, you know, her role as a detective.
Yeah.
And so does Kristen, given her role, you know, working, you know, in tandem with the church.
Yeah.
And what she's able to actually, you know, divulge and not divulge. However, when I could see how Kristen would immediately think, like, oh, my God, like, what did you do? Like, you know, why are you here? But that's Kristen not knowing that the husband was in that kitchen calling 911.
Right.
And I think that, you know, they were already keeping tabs. And then that call to 911 was what was like, okay, cool, let's move in.
Yeah.
So I don't even think that her friend did that.
Oh, yeah, I don't think so either. No, yeah. I think she kept her word.
It was purely coincidence.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. I'm sure Kristen knows that. Because, I mean, we obviously find out that he did it. So, yeah. Okay.
I hope we see more of her.
Yeah, same. I hope so, too. Okay, so before we move on to our next topic, Chaos, you have a message for our viewers?
Nah, I ain't got nothing for them. No, you know, before we move on to our next topics, we just want to say, look, thank you for making us ESPN of TV Talk. And for us to continue to grow, we need your help. You know, this is a teamwork thing, you know, give and take. So if you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. If you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. 4 stars is okay, but you know we're 5-star worthy. So hit that 5-star button. And then, you know, no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation and you can join us. And now keep in mind that being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us. And we appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. So we appreciate you. And we want you to come back. But guess what? We want you to come back with friends. So tell your friends. Tell your significant others and your spouses and everybody, and just keep enjoying our shows, and we'll keep providing you this amazing content. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Love it. Okay, so moving on to our next topic, we're going to talk about Leland and Sebastian. Sebastian went into a coffee shop, you know, and he, you know, asked out Linda, who politely turned him down, and Leland overheard and was basically saying that, you know, she was teasing you and that... I mean, obviously, trying to... I mean, look, we all know Leland doesn't
instigate.
Have...
Right,
and
instigate.
And she Leland was don't a have barista.
Right. Leland doesn't have good intentions. But he then invited Sebastian to come see him, mm-hmm. which Sebastian eventually does. And then he basically talks to him about revenge, you know, and how you feel equals power. And then he has him join a group with men who has the same views toward women mm-hmm. as Leland, and then they talk about pretty much performing violent acts on random
right.
women.
So, yeah, he basically tells him about the off. So he tells him about the incel army.
Right.
He kind of introduces him to that group.
Yes.
And I looked it up because I've seen the term thrown around and wasn't quite sure exactly what it is. It's involuntary celibates. Involuntary meaning that that's not necessarily by choice, which speaks to a lot. But the thing is, when we get to see him actually partaking in that group chat, you know, we see a lot of misogynistic views and, you know, they're in general self-entitled. Like they're very entitled, like they're entitled to... they're entitled and women should, you know, they shouldn't be getting rejected, and women kind of are beholden to them.
Yeah.
Which is a dumb way to think.
But do we know
but
why?
But they're also very socially awkward. Do we know why?
Do we know why Leland is, I mean, it seemed like that he's obviously recruiting them.
He's recruiting younger men too.
Yes.
So, I mean,
impressionable.
Right. Because, I mean, he's obviously watching them have a conversation with each other. But why do you think that is? Why do you think Leland is recruiting these group of guys?
I think he just, like, has, something against women. And I think it goes back to him and Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants revenge on her for something that she did
that
she didn't know about.
She wouldn't give him some of that, you know, some of that good stuff. Essentially, I mean, we're just going to keep it all the way funky. Like I said, you know, incel is involuntary celibates. You know, they want to get down like everybody else is getting down, but they're socially awkward. They're, you know, they continuously get rejected. We've all had someone, whether it's within, you know, whether it's in the school situation or work, that's socially awkward, and they're not necessarily good with women, you know, just in general. And this is just, that's what that is. But you also get to see that there's a lot of angst. And I think that Leland is kind of tapping into that, you know, all that angst that, you know, he's going to be able to manipulate that anger and that frustration because, you know, like, why can't somebody break me off too? And he's going to take and manipulate that to definitely get them to do what he needs them to do at the end of the day.
Oh, for sure. I feel like there's definitely a bigger plan for those boys.
I also thought it was interesting how one of them said, I'm a good American or something like that. I thought it was very just interesting how they worked that into the show.
Yeah. It wasn't with the
it's entitled flag. Yeah.
Exactly. And then it's just, look, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think with them all just being, you know, young white men. So it's like,
don't think. I mean, you know, we can sit here and we could dance around the bush and tap dance all we want, but let's keep it all the way funky. They are dropping these things in there, and like you said, it is definitely a reflection of what's going on in current society today. It's just a matter of, you know, whether or not we're picking up on it. And yes, and that's, you know, all too often, you know, when we have these shootings, unfortunately, there was another one today, you know, and I hate to say it, but, you know, the majority of them are carried out by, you know, single, somewhat, as we dive into their backgrounds, socially awkward, white, younger white men.
Yeah.
And that's it right there. You know, and a lot of their belief system is skewed from, you know, what the majority of, you know, the general populace believes. But then, you know, saying things like, you know, I'm an American and, you know, this is, you know, those random ways that they kind of grasp for things to validate, you know, their behavior and their thought process and their kind of, you know, logic.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was really good. No, I liked it.
It's I mean, it's sad to see that. I mean, you know, because there really are, while this is a TV show, there really are people out there like that.
Absolutely.
And they're literally just bitter because they can't get broke off. And that's why we need more Hitch types in the world, because, you know, that's all it needs. Everybody needs a little bit of love, and they just need some hugs and some female attention.
So I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with these group of boys.
Right.
We got to move on, though. So let's talk about the Codex book. You know, I think that, you know, last week when, you know, we found out that Grace Ling is, I mean, I believe she's a prophet. Now, we know that she was sent back to China, and the Pope had brought in the, is it assessors? What do you call them? I wrote it down. The assessors. Yes, I wrote it down.
The Italian guys.
Yes, so they're called assessors. So the Pope had brought them in to interview Ben, Kristen, and David, trying to see if, you know, she was a prophet. Of course, Ben and, you know, Kristen don't think she is. Of course, David does. And, you know, we know that she... But the thing is, they were also asking about, like, their sex life. And I think it kind of just real quick, just to kind of segue a little bit. With the demon and with the assessors, for some reason, David and Kristen seem to be the topic of conversation, which I thought was very interesting. So, I mean, I feel like it always... People always find a way to bring them up.
They feel... The sexual attention?
Or their chemistry?
Yes.
Think so?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just had to get that out because I was really thinking about that. But to go back. So we have that. So we have Grace Ling. So they got the... Well, Ben got the footage of the drawings that she had, the drawings that she did when they were visiting. And just to kind of break this down a little bit, I'm under the impression that, so the symbols on the books that she received from, well, that her kids received from Leland, so that the symbol meant, was Anatus, which means the great beast. Now, if I'm understanding this correctly, help me if I could be wrong. If the chat knows, definitely let me know. I take it that Leland is kind of like the head. He's like the head, and he's recruiting people because I saw that it's like a demon hierarchy. Like that's what it is. And so it looks like that he's trying to recruit people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's what I think too.
Okay, am I on the right track?
Yeah,
am I on the right track, Chaos?
Yeah, you're definitely on the right track.
Okay, so and it's just touch on this too. So Grace is drawing. She's drawing something that's from like a 500-year-old book.
Right, the Pavilion. Mm-hmm.
Right, the Pavilion. Yeah, right. So she's drawing that. So she's drawing things. So I mean, I believe she's a prophet.
Oh, for sure, yeah. She is.
So I'm like, how could you know this information?
She's never seen it.
Right. So okay, do we think that this is obviously connected to Leland? Maybe reaching out to Sebastian and kind of.
Oh yeah.
And then also we have. The symbol that was on that Dwight, which is Bridget's husband, he had when he was pulling out the wood, he had a symbol. There was a symbol there too. That was carved in. So I'm wondering. I'm like, okay, how like and we've seen that Kristen took pictures of everything, and so I'm wondering how this is all like connected.
I think we're for sure gonna learn more next week about it.
Yeah.
But I think it's so interesting, and I love that the show is doing this, though.
Yeah, they're dropping little clues, and it's. I'm really trying to pay attention, really understand what's going on, because even with, like, David's dad, having one of the symbols in his book, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, mm-hmm. are all these people, like, demons, and they're all going to kind of come back? We've seen the 60 demons.
And David's he wants to be a priest.
Right. Were you going to say something?
Oh, of course. I was catching my breath so I can, have a one big long run-on sentence. So real quick, let's just jump to the chat. I want to shout out Chico McCarthy, who has joined us in the chat. As we were trying to figure, as we were commending, Bridget on her amazing performance, her actual, the actress is Anna Lee Ashford.
Okay.
So shout out to Anna Lee. Whoop whoop. You might have seen her in Masters of Sex or American Crime Story Versace. So I think that the reason why we are seeing particularly that Anatus Greek beast symbol and things like that, and we're kind of seeing them in different situations, is because these are, as shown in the preview, there's a group of people, which we often refer to as a cult, but there's a group, there's a large group of people that their belief system revolves around some of these symbols and what they represent and things like that. And yeah, I think that it's one of those things where that's why we're kind of seeing it in different situations with people that may not necessarily be connected, as in, oh, hey, Jim, what's going on? You going to the cult meeting tonight? And they may not be connected in that sense, but they're connected because they all have that same belief system, that kind of correlates to that whole Pavilia Codex.
Do you think there's something going on with the symbol? Because David told Kristen to burn the books that had the symbol on it. So it made me think that there's something.
Possibly.
Also, I wanted to mention David had no idea about Leland. And
Leland and
right. Yeah, he didn't know about it.
I loved his reaction.
Yeah,
he looked at her like she was crazy.
It was a natural reaction. That's exactly how, in any real situation, that's exactly how it would have gone down. And he'd be like, "Yo, are you crazy?"
No, you're good. We are running out of time. We only have like a few more minutes, so we're gonna have to wrap up this episode. Any last thoughts, really fast?
Yes, I have some, but please, Haley.
Thought it was an overall great episode. I love where the show is going.
Okay, Chaos.
I agree. Everyone in this show, they definitely bring their A game from an acting standpoint. The writing is on point, and I've got some questions. Obviously, we're not going to really get to dive into these questions, so please jump in the chat, jump in the comments, and let me know what you think. Is there a rule or a law that says that if you're possessed, that you just, at some point in your possession, you just got to just throw up all over yourself and you just get left in that? Because every time we see someone that gets possessed, we see them at some point with just random chunks of vomit all on their face. And they're just chilling. They're just talking, having full-blown conversations like, yeah, I don't have, you know, random rotten food just chilling on my face.
So gross.
That's definitely something that I kind of want some questions, I kind of had to ask because... Yeah, she's low-key just kind of, chilling with them chunks on her face. But at the same time, too, I know we kind of touched on this, and I know I'm kind of taking up a little bit of time, but I'm going to keep going. If your significant other gets possessed by demons, are you going to be able to work through that? At the end of the day, if they get rid of said demons... Are you going to be cool and y'all going to carry on with the relationship?
Yeah.
Is it okay if you make fun of her? Like, yeah, you remember that time you was possessed? You was like, and you was throwing up on yourself and you pooped in your pants. Like, you know, like, I just want to know. So hit us up in the chat.
Let us know what you guys think. Sorry, guys, we have to wrap up. So real quick, do you have some news and gossip for us, Haley?
Yes, I have a little bit of news and gossip. So our leading lady, I can never say her name. His name is Katja.
Mm-hmm.
She did an interview with CBS recently, and then she basically goes into the romantic link between her and David their relationship for her is intense. It's kind of like because she was a mountain climber and she misses that adrenaline.
Yeah.
So her working with these like demons is another way for her to get that rush.
So it's filling that void.
Yeah,
it's filling the void.
Nice.
She also talks, like mentions that the husband will come into play.
Which nice. we also see in the preview that we weren't even sure he existed.
We're excited.
He's not dead.
Yeah. No, seriously. Okay, so real quick, we're going to get into our special segment. I will breeze through this, Jill. I know we're running out of time here. But I switched it up this week. I usually do demons, so this time I'm doing ghosts. So there was a house in, it's the Morris Jamel Mansion in New York City. It was built in 1765, and it served a war room for George Washington. It's pretty dope. So, they haven't seen many ghosts, but they have heard them. And it's super crazy. They use this thing called an EVP. It's an electronic voice phenomenon. And it's basically a sound that records on a digital recording device, but it's, like, not in real time. So they record this, like, 2 years ago. And then as of, like, last week, they were able to listen to it, and they heard this sound, which I think is super, super crazy.
Let's see if anything generates up here.
The hell out of here!
Dude, should we go to...
Let's see if anything generates up here.
So that noise in the background is apparently the ghost.
Let's see if
thanks,
anything generates up here.
So they're not really sure. They think that she's saying they're going to laugh at you, but they weren't really sure. Super, super crazy. So I don't know. I mean, they actually do ghost tours there twice a month, which I think is very interesting. And if I ever go to New York, I may have to suck it up and go. So I thought that was pretty cool. And that's all I have. Let's get into some predictions really fast.
TV predictions.
Thanks, J-Lo. Haley, what do you think?
I want somebody to tell off this father. The grandma to be like, fool, where have you been?
it'll probably happen. I believe it. What about you, Chaos?
I don't know if anybody's going to tell him off because, I mean, you know, granted, we were in doubt of his existence, you know, let alone where he was. But we already, I mean, it's been said throughout the show, like, he's in the mountains doing mountainy things. And that's clearly where he came from was the mountains from doing mountainy things. For me, predictions, I think that, it's great that he's home. But I kind of feel like, I don't feel like that connection is going to be there as much as it was. She'll be excited. The girls will be excited. But I think that, you know, she's kind of moved on a little bit. And I think things are going to be a little bit awkward and maybe even rocky with him coming in. It's going to kind of disrupt the kind of chemistry that she has with David.
Yeah.
And not even from a sexual romantic standpoint.
Right.
Even more so just working.
Because
he could be like, what are you doing? Like, this is nonsense.
Yeah.
So I see there being some conflict there. I definitely am anxious to see what's going to happen with this whole cult thing that they're kind of teasing with the dad and, you know, all these people that are kind of believers of some of the different things revolving around this whole codex.
Gotcha.
It's going to get deep.
It definitely is. I completely agree with both of you guys. I think that with her husband coming back, I think it's going to push her more towards David. Right now, I don't really feel the chemistry. I do, but I don't. But no, we'll have to see. I have a lot more, but we got to get out of here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Where can they find you on social media?
Oh, you already know. You can find me on Twitter, KAAOSJ, and on Instagram, Chaos_Jones.
Hey guys, you can find me everywhere at Haley Matthews.
And you guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Tierra. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.